Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi 2014 full year consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group full year 2014 results conference call. As usual, we will kick off the call with some brief comments on the group results, and then we will leave the room for Q&A. Starting with a quick review of the markets, global demand in 2014 followed an uneven path. West Europe, USA, Middle East, Africa, Asia, and Latin America were growing, while Oceania and East Europe had a negative performance, with the latter negatively affected by the geopolitical uncertainties and by negative foreign exchange rate impacts. As far as De'Longhi is concerned, during 2014, the group went ahead with its growth and investment plans, which allowed us to achieve strong results in terms of margins and cash generation. In particular, the three-year investment plan related to the Cluj plant in Romania was successfully completed, leading to a fully up-and-running plant, offering significant opportunities to serve the European markets, as well as to make manufacturing more efficient. Furthermore, the group continued its investment in China, leading to improved manufacturing capabilities into a new warehouse. As far as Braun is concerned, I'm happy to say that the integration of Braun within the group has been successfully completed. The brand has achieved a very positive commercial impact, supported by the progressive renewal of its products range, whose benefits have still to be fully reaped. Moving on, the group performance, full year revenues reached 1.7 billion euros, up by 6.8%, or 9.7% at constant exchange rates. By geography, Europe grew 8.5%, thanks to a particularly strong contribution of Northeast Europe, up almost 17%, driven by U.K., Russia, up about 30%, despite the material ruble devaluation, as well as by other Eastern European countries. Positive contribution also from Southwest Europe, which grew 3.8%, thanks to higher sales in France, Iberia, Switzerland, Turkey, and to a lower extent, Italy and Germany. MEIA, Middle East, India, and Africa, was up 9%, thanks to a very strong Saudi Arabia. Finally, revenues of APA, Asia, Pacific, and Americas, increased slightly, following a muted performance of the main reference markets. Higher revenues in China, South Korea, USA, and Mexico were balanced by lower sales in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. By products, the group recorded a strong growth at both its core drivers, the cooking and food preparation, and the coffee makers segment. In particular, growth in the cooking and food preparation was driven by Kenwood kitchen machines, by fryers, thanks to the new launch of the De'Longhi Multifry, and by blenders, toasters, and kettles. The coffee makers' growth was led by internally manufactured machines, such as fully automatic coffee makers, traditional espresso machines, and Nespresso Latissima and Dolce Gusto Gioia. I want to highlight also the double-digit growth of ironing, thanks especially to the contribution of Braun-branded irons. Comfort had a slightly negative performance, with some weather-related weakness in heating, only partly balanced by marginally higher sales in air conditioning and air treatment. The growth in coffee and kitchen led to improved mix, which together with higher volumes led to an increase in the net industrial margin from 788 million euros in 2013 to 816 million euros in 2014, declining 1.5 percentage points on revenues. However, excluding the negative FX impact worth approximately 46 million euros, the net industrial margin would have been almost stable as a percentage of revenues. EBITDA, before non-recurring items, increased by 7.7% to 260 million euros, 15.1% of revenues, up from 242 million euros, or 14.9% as percentage of revenues. At constant exchange rates and excluding hedging, EBITDA before non-recurring items would have been equal to 288 million, 16.3% margin. The FX and hedging impact was negative by 36 million euros in 2014. EBITDA, after non-recurring items, reached 260 million euros, increasing 8.6% from 239 million euros in 2013, and improving also as a percentage of revenues to 15% from 14.8% in 2013. EBIT was equal to 213 million euros, 12.3% of revenues, a 9.5% increase versus the previous year, despite higher D&A increasing by 2 million euros from 2013, linked to the industrial investments made by the group. Net financial charges were about 42 million euros, up from 37 million euros in 2013, due to higher FX and hedging costs worth approximately 5 million euros. Net income pertaining to the group reached 126.5 million, up from 117 million in 2013. Looking at the quarter four performance, I want to highlight the strong revenue growth of 8.2%, 10% at constant exchange rates, reaching 640 million euros. EBITDA before non-recurring items stood at 123.5 million euros, which represents 19.3% of revenues, up from 18.2% of revenues in 2013, which gives a representation of the strong operational leverage of the group. Moving on the balance sheet, I want to give you a brief snapshot of some key balance sheet items. As of December 31st, 2014, the group was in a net cash position of 89 million euros, improving from a 9 million euro net debt position as of year-end 2013. The net cash flow generated by the group equaled 98 million euros, which is particularly remarkable considering that during the period, the group paid about 60 million euros in dividends and 61 million in CapEx, of which about 26 million are to be considered as non-recurring investments. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders was positive by 113 million, compared to positive by 41 million as of the end of December 2013. Finally, the net trade working capital was up by only 9.5 million euros from December 2013, decreasing from 14% to 13.7% as percentage of revenues. Last comments I want to share are on the outlook and guidance for the fiscal year 2015. First of all, I want to highlight the fact that the group 2014 organic growth was close to 10%, supported by a strong performance of the key drivers, coffee and kitchen, by new products, by the relaunch of the Braun brand, as well as by A&P investments made by the group. Despite this, foreign exchange headwinds represented a significant drag on 2014 performance, and at current market prices, FX will remain a major negative also in 2015. Despite these headwinds, the group intends to continue to pursue its strategy to invest for growth and to sustain its premium positioning, maintaining its commitment to A&P and R&D spend. I think that De'Longhi has the opportunity to grow revenues organically in 2015 at a mid to high single-digit rate. This, thanks to the group organic leverage, is expected to translate into a significant EBITDA improvement before currency impact. Our updated estimate for currency headwinds is about 30 to 35 million euros, about in line with the impact we had in 2014. At the current level of currency headwinds, I expect the group to deliver an improved EBITDA in absolute terms, also on a reported basis. Finally, we decided to propose a 0.41 euro dividend per share to the upcoming AGM versus 0.40 euros the previous year. This is a consequence of the group's strong balance sheet position, which, after completing a Braun household integration, leaves room also for potential additional external growth opportunities. I have no more to add and leave you space for Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Just a few questions from my side. The first one is on the efficiency that you mentioned as the reason, as one of the reasons behind the strong margin improvement in the fourth quarter. I was wondering if you can shed more light on this efficiency and if you think that also in 2015 you expect to experience some savings on your cost base. The second one is on the guidance. You mentioned a significant EBITDA increase before FX headwinds. I want to ask you if you can be a little bit more clear on that, if you mean significant the growth that we have seen in 2014 or something completely different. Then the third question is on the balance sheet. Now you have approximately 100 million euros of cash. Are you planning to optimize your balance sheet going forward? And if yes, if you're focusing mainly on M&A or on paying, for example, extraordinary dividend if any M&A opportunity does not materialize. Finally, my question is on the 2016. I know that we are just at the beginning of 2015, but the rapid strengthening of US dollar and yuan are so relevant, and I'm wondering if you can give us an idea if you think to speed up the reshoring production in Europe in order to limit or reduce the FX headwinds in 2016. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Luca, for the questions. First question was about the efficiency, which helped to deliver a margin improvement in the fourth quarter, for sure. We have a strong operational leverage. You know that we have approximately was a one-third of the sales in the last quarter, and this is traditionally helping in delivering much higher than average EBITDA in the last quarter. I have to say that we were helped by a very strong strong volume increase, and probably also by a better mix. I have to say that we did particularly well in fully automatic coffee machines and we did very well also with Kenwood and kitchen machines, which definitely improve our mix. Also, I'm very pleased to see that some price erosion that we have suffered in the first months now is reduced. The price erosion was due to some price effect, but also to the exchange rates. We've been very successful in passing on to the market price increases in the most critical regions, to name a few markets, Russia for sure, and Ukraine. So we're happy also that despite the price increases, our sales performance is still very solid and strong. So I think that we're proving that we have some pricing power, and this is very important, and is also making us more comfortable in entering with high increased prices in 2015. These are the reasons altogether. So I would say fourth quarter, as usual, strong, good mix in term of products, good pricing, and we were really able to offset the negatives in the most critical markets in terms of exchange rates. Second question was also about EBITDA. So I think I've touched probably this the second question also with the first one. But and the third is about the cash generation and the net financial position. Net financial position is positive. We have about 100 million euro in cash. Slightly better than expected. We've been able to reduce our inventories dramatically in the last quarter, and we have also provided a good cash flow generally from operations. In this perspective, although we could have delivered a better dividend, we think that probably the dividend is fair at least levels. We now probably would prefer to retain cash in the company because we have well integrated Brown, and now we can start to be more active in terms of seeking M&A opportunities. So I think that is a good balance between giving cash back to the shareholders, but also retain cash within the company to be ready to capture opportunities of M&A to continue to in delivering growth and also improving our equity story. In terms of fourth question about Europe versus China, I think that the Cluj Factory investment has been very positive for the group. Has been very timely, very extremely timely. I think that today we see already potential to bring back certain productions from China to Europe. This is currently under investigation. We have a very thorough process now, investigation process. We want to come up with a plan in the next month or so, and to make decisions, because this can affect also our R&D investments. We have eventually to make decisions whether we want to accelerate new products and start new products in Europe as soon as possible, or maybe to retool and invest in all the products to accelerate the relocation to Europe. We have also to make some worst case and best case scenario, because today at 1/10 is definitely very convenient in certain product lines, less in others, but we want to make decisions which are more long term and not very tactical, so we have to better assess what are also a potential risk arising from maybe a bounce back of a quicker bounce back of the dollar. So it's under investigation. What I can say is that we see room for bringing back to Europe certain productions, and we are very happy that Romania is ready also to go to the next level, and is a very valuable asset for the group today. Thank you.
I'm sorry, just a second, I'll reopen Mr. Rabacoccoli's line. Thank you. Mr. Rabacoccoli, your line is open again. Please go ahead.
Oh, well, sorry, just if I can better qualify the guidance on 2015. EBITDA before the FX impact. You just mentioned a significant increase. That's significant. What that means?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Let's try maybe to go back a little bit to the performance of 2014 and see. So what has been the performance of the group excluding exchange rates? So with a growth at approximately 7%, we were able to, at constant exchange rates, to improve EBITDA of approximately 50 million euros, more or less, slightly more than 50 million euros. Obviously, it has been a very strong performance. So the incremental, on a growth of 109 millions on actual numbers, we were able to offset 35 million of exchange rates and still deliver 18 million of improvement of EBITDA and with a stronger, operational leverage. I think that we definitely did very well in 2014. I still think that we can improve a little bit EBITDA. So I think that we will certainly be able to offset the 30 to 35 million negative headwinds and deliver some marginal growth, in EBITDA. So hopefully in line with this year. I have to say this year has been particularly strong, but for sure we will try to do better in terms of EBITDA.
Okay, much clearer now.
The next question is from Anna Petris of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Well, congratulations with the very good results. A couple of questions from my side. If you look at the regional development, on North America, the sales were flat year over year. If I remember correctly, you're trying to push the Kenwood with their high-end products with the kitchen machines there, and you also want to push the coffee sales there, and you were also quite happy before that how Latissima was working there. So maybe if you can share a bit more details why North America was flat, what's going on there. On the second question on Russia, obviously very strong performance. I would assume that there was also a lot of pre-buying or people were trying to get rid of rubles because of the devaluation. So how do you see the inventory levels at the retail segment, and what are your expectations for Russia for this year? And again, if I look at the Germany, Germany was also flat year over year. So it seems to be a rather important market, but wasn't performing in line with the group. What are their reasons here? If you look on the product development for different product segments, can you share within the coffee segment, you mentioned that Dolce Gusto was doing very well, also thanks to the new Trove model. If you can share with us the revenue addition from this? And also, how do you see your future development with Nescafé? Are Nescafé guys happy with the production of with your production? And are they thinking, or would you like to propose to produce more models going forward so that they will also outsource more to you? And then for the time, the last question on the ANP. I saw that the ANP actually didn't increase too much, and I was surprised a little bit. So how do you see this going forward? Thank you.
I'm not sure we got your last question. It was about AMP.
Yeah, advertising and promotions. I saw that it didn't increase very strongly. So if I'm not mistaken, it increased by roughly 5% last year.
Decrease in AMP. No.
Increase in ANP.
As a percentage.
So I see that it's last year it was roughly 10% of sales, and then it's also pretty much the same, well, 9.8% of sales this year.
Questions about the markets. USA is an opportunity. The group is investing in the United States in terms of new products, and this year is going to be the year of the relaunch of, say, of we start the preliminary work to reintroduce Braun. But we will see the results of the new Braun products which have been introduced starting 2016. So I think this year will still be a transition year. We are happy with what we're doing in coffee, but still is a market dominated by black coffee. So we see potential for cappuccino and espresso and latte, but unfortunately, still at home, the dominant system is Keurig, and is a market still dominated by black coffee rather than milk-based drinks at all. So I think it's still a huge opportunity. The group will continue to invest. We want to succeed in this market, but we are not seeing strong material investment. I think that probably this year, again, as said before, is going to be a transition year, and maybe next year also with the relaunch of Braun, we will have more opportunities to capture growth in North America. Russia is going to. We performed very well last year. We have strongly improved our market shares, and obviously, we are concerned about a possible market decline. I personally met all the top Russian customers last week, and also the top Ukrainian customers, and I was, I say, relieved by the meetings we had because we are concerned, but they say that indeed the general market in household appliance can decline. They think that small domestic appliances are always very much more resilient, and they still see potential for growth in our core business, which is coffee, particularly espresso and food preparation. So I would say that probably Russian could be maybe less negative than one might expect. Also, as a good example, I would look at this year performance in Ukraine. Ukraine, obviously, for the obvious situation we were facing there, which started well before Russia, the decline has been around 8%. So obviously not a positive market, but not that dramatic. I also see in Russia the opportunity for the group because we are starting the year with much higher market shares compared to 1 year. So I think that we will be helped by the growth in market share we have achieved along 2014, and we have a greater market share, which can also translate to some improvements which might offset a negative market condition there. In terms of Germany, last year has been a less buoyant year for coffee. We are, however, performing very well in terms of market shares, and so we feel pretty strong and positive. I think that also we are at a good start of the year. January has been a very strong month for coffee, particularly for fully automatic in Germany. Very, very good growth there. So we have, we think that we cannot expect the buoyant growth that we had in the past. We start from a very high base, but still positive on the German market. So in general, I think that the group is performing very well across the different regions. And I think that we should continue also in 2016 to deliver good growth. I said before, mid to high single digit growth, even if we are very aware of let's say the fact that you are also outlining that the USA for us is not a particularly successful region, that Russia might have some negatives, and Germany probably will continue to grow, but maybe at a lower pace compared to maybe the past years. In terms of products, we will have many important launches in 2016. I will start probably recalling that Kenwood has just recently introduced two new kitchen machines in the last months of the year. So next year will be the first full year for the new Sense kitchen machines. And also we will launch new fully automatic coffee machines. We have the relaunch of Braun in ironing systems, which will be say kicking in the next month. So we have a strong pipeline for each brand. And more specifically about Dolce Gusto Giovia that you mentioned. Dolce Gusto Giovia performed very well. I think Nespresso is very, very happy about our factory, and I think that for sure, although we can't disclose any future plan with Nestlé, I'm quite confident that we will have more opportunities to make at our premises more Dolce Gusto products in the future. Giovia did very well, and last year we did approximately 20% of the total Dolce Gusto business was made by Giovia, and the total Dolce Gusto business, approximately to give you an idea, is around slightly more than 50 million euros. And it was just in the last, let's say, in the second half of the year. In terms of AMP, the last question, AMP investment for 2014 was approximately 9.7% on total sales, slightly down versus last year, but in absolute terms, was increased by about 8 million euros, from 160 million to 168 million. So I think that it is in the range that we indicate all the time, between 9 and 10 million. I'd say it is rather than a reduction in the spend, is I think a very strong sales performance that I think is key to also explain say that the group performance and the group ability also to outperform our main competitors in coffee and food preparation. So it's not the will to invest less, is really the mirroring the fact that we are really performing very well in terms of sales.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My first question is regarding provision. If it's possible to have the precise number for this year, I'm talking specifically at the 24.3 million that you reported last year and the 6 million you report in the first half of this year, just to understand if this explains the last quarter performance. And if I may also, is it possible to have your recent, ideas on the impact of raw material deflation this year in 2015, if any, in particular to plastic, if that would help 2015 profitability? And finally, if you are, if you started already, or if you are planning to do it briefly, to hedge your US dollar position, in particular for 2016 at this level, or if you are leaving that open. Thank you very much.
Okay, in terms of provisions, indeed, we had less, accruals in 2015 due to circumstances. Last year we had to accrue for risks that we had to consider during the year, and this year slightly less or were spent during the year. We don't see any material difference from one year to another. In terms of hedging, we are well hedged for 2015. I would remind that we are not hedging the ruble, but we are well hedged in, the main currencies, in particular the US dollar is hedged at approximately 80%, and also the rand is hedged almost for 100%. The Australian dollar as well is fully hedged. So we are basically hedged for 2015. We have hedged a small portion also in 2016 to the on the dollar, which is approximately 20%, approximately 20%. But I would say 2015 is hedged according to our policy, while 16 is just marginally hedged.
If I may, on the provision item, is it possible to have the precise number? Because in the first half, provision were down almost 50%. So I was wondering if that was the same impact in the last quarter of this year.
Okay. I don't have this handy. We will follow up for those who are interested in this. Mr. Visconti, our investor relation manager will get back to you with regard and better explain this.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Three questions. The first is a follow-up on the previous question, so related to the raw material impact expected for 2015. If you can give us some color, I didn't catch your answer. The second, still on the edging, I didn't catch the position on the Chinese renminbi, so if you can also give us some indication on that currency. And the third question is on M&A. In particular, I would like to understand if you are aware of any change in the attitude of Procter & Gamble related to the Brown brand compared to the previous call.
Well, we expect some improvements in raw materials, but again, this year is going to be a year where the exchange rates will negatively impact. We can have some help in terms of raw materials, but we don't expect a major raw material improvement. In terms of hedging, the renminbi is hedged at approximately 40%, approximately 40%. And the last question was about
Brown, the remaining Brown. Part of Brown. Are you aware of any, say,
the remaining part of Brown? Well, many rumors. We all read papers. We don't think there is a process. It's not yet, I think, decided at P&G what they want to do with Brown, whether they want to retain the business or dismiss the business. For the time being, we think there are only rumors and speculations, but there is no process outgoing.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. DeLonghi, there's a follow-up from Anna Patris of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just more questions from my side, please. You were mentioning that you will decide this year about possible shift from Asia to Europe. What are the associated costs that you might experience for that? And also, what is how is the current status of the Romanian plant? Because my understanding is that Jervé is already produced there. You also plan to do more of the coffee, automated coffee machines there. What else do you plan to produce there? That's one question. Second question, if you look at the foreign exchange impact, I mean, the US dollar is now playing in your favor in terms of the top line. The UK also playing positively to you. If I look, apart from Russia, all other currencies haven't really depreciated as much now. So what is the, on the top line, do you expect any positive, negative hit to your earnings? And when you were talking about the EBITDA guidance, you were saying that you expect significant EBITDA improvement before foreign exchange. So do you compare it 288 that you did last year versus what you expect to do this year? And then from this, we should subtract this 35 to 45 negative foreign exchange impact. Is that the case? That's it. Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. The first question.
Asia to Europe.
Yes. What we are now investigating is we have identified some products in a coffee espresso that are made in China. Some espresso pump espresso coffee machines. We are. Identifying certain cooking products also, which are made in China, say more plastic-based in terms of technology, and these are probably the main categories are under investigation to be moved to Romania. The factory is already, let's say, has space
We have space and room to accommodate more products. This year we will, according to also the plans, we are intaking certain production of brown, which were made before by a third party manufacturer, contractors we have in Europe. And also we are moving, we have moved fully automatic machines from Italy to Romania. So, but there is a space for bringing more, and also we are now considering a new investment plan in Romania. We will probably complete the plan by April, also submit to the local authorities, because it's also subject to support and financing from the European Commission, and according to the plan, we will probably expand further the plant and consider to bring in Romania more production that are now in China, particularly with regard to espresso and cooking and food preparation. In terms of,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but have you checked? Is it neutral in terms of cost savings and an additional cost in the first time that you will incorporate to bring those into Europe, or do you expect some cost savings? Like, just a little bit more details.
Okay.
Does it include any additional capex spent?
Okay, for sure we will have some capex spent. For sure we will have some capex spent. We don't think we'll dramatically change the yearly investments for the group, but for sure there is some incremental capex spent. The point is, we will have some saving versus, say, the current cost at the current renminbi or dollar exchange rates. So we expect that at 1.15, we will have some saving. Obviously, today we are in a situation where we are still hedging, and we're going to have some costs thanks to the hedging, which are more around 1.25. So I expect that probably more than a pure saving will be offsetting a possible incremental cost that we would eventually suffer in 2016.
Okay, thank you.
In terms of EBITDA, we think that the group has proved last year that we have the ability to have an operational leverage on incremental sales for at around 30%. If we will be able to do so also in 2015, let's say with to make an example, with a growth at around, say, 6%, to make an example, should be 100 million euro top line growth at 30%, which is the leverage, we can deliver 30 million of incremental EBITDA. Obviously, if we have negative headwinds at around 30%, probably, if we are not able also to pass on to the market certain price increases, as we are trying to do, like in Russia, in Ukraine, in Australia, and in some European markets, this would the operational level would offset the negative exchange. Obviously, we are trying to pass on price increases step by step, and our goal is to more than offset, thanks to the growth and thanks to the operational leverage and the ability of the group to pass on price increases to the market, and then improve EBITDA also in 2016 and 2015.
Okay, understood. And then maybe last question, for the 2014, how did you see the Braun development? What is the Braun contribution in terms of sales and also in terms of the profitability, given that you were launching new products, and I would assume that you were trying also to improve the gross margin of those products? Can you provide us with some details?
Well, I can say that we think that the Braun will continue to probably grow faster than the other brands, and we'll continue to, let's say, to reduce the gap in terms of profitability to the other brands of the group. So I'm confident that we will continue to outperform the other brands and to improve the profitability.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. DeLonghi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, if there are no more questions, I thank you for attending our conference call. Bye-bye.